catch it up.
Okay, so let's just mention that. Now, so that guys know.
Yeah, no, we'll just do it.
You want to pray for you?
Yeah, you can pray for
me. Yeah.
Cool. You guys go. You guys carry on praying. That's awesome. You guys carry on. Don't worry. If God's working, He's working. That's rad. We're super chilled. So this is Dan. I love this guy. I love what God's doing in him. And just want to pray for him, and he's going to just share from the Word tonight. And so, Father, thank you for Dan. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his family. Thank you for what you're doing through him. Lord, I pray that you'll just continue to anoint him tonight, give him freedom in this place. Lord, we're looking forward to what he's going to say. And we want to receive him well, Lord, because if we receive him, we'll receive you in a sense. And so, yeah, use him tonight, Lord, in a massive way. Thank you for working so far in us. And yeah, just very lucky to be in your presence tonight, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'm super excited to share because I really feel like there's something direct that the Lord wants to, he wants to almost bring out and show us how important the attitude and the condition of your heart is to him. And I think so often we think that at the cross it's Jesus, I give you my heart, and then it doesn't matter about the rest of the process. And I want to show us how even the disciples so close to Jesus, even when he's doing miracles and healing and it looks like everything around them is incredible, and it's like we think revival is great. I mean, can you imagine walking with Jesus? But how it was possible for the disciples, even after Jesus is performing miracle after miracle after miracle, that their own hearts start to harden towards Jesus, that they actually couldn't even understand what it is that he would say to them. And it's because their hearts had hardened. And so I want to just take us on a journey quickly. It's over four chapters in these moments of when Jesus heals someone first. And I want to describe how Jesus feels towards a hard heart, because I think it's important for us to realize this. And then to actually see, he ends up warning his disciples. He's saying, you're slipping. I'm losing your heart. Your heart is hardening towards me. You're becoming like the Pharisees. You're becoming, and I want to show us this picture and how Jesus is passionate about us. How the condition of your heart tonight matters to him. Maybe from the conference, and that's some of the words that have come. Maybe in the conference you expected something more for you. Or maybe over the last season it's felt like God's overlooked you. Or something's happened and actually you see God doing the miraculous in everybody else's situation, but for yourself, it feels like he's not really seeing me or noticing me, and I'm starting to not even understand what it is that he's trying to say to me. I'm missing the obvious things, and it's because maybe in my heart, I'm hardening my heart towards him. And Jesus loves you this evening, and he wants to come in every single one of us, and he wants to meet. He is the one who can take out the heart of stone and put in the heart of flesh. And so I want to start with this story. It's in Mark 3, verse 1. And it says, another time Jesus went into the synagogue. Went to verse 1, I'm sorry. And a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking, and I want you to see this. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And Andrew touched on this, and I want to say, this is an area in our lives that we have to fight against. And that is that man has made himself God's judge. Sometimes in our hearts, we look for a position to accuse God. If you show me your goodness, if you show me why I can understand you, if you prove yourself to me, then I'll believe in you. Then I'll trust you. But actually, there's a different posture. And it says, so some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. And I want us to notice this. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed. Some versions say stubborn, some say hardened. And deeply distressed at their hardened hearts. Jesus looked around in anger and distress at the condition of their hearts. He's talking about the Pharisees. It's not the disciples right now, it's the Pharisees. Jesus was deeply distressed and angry at the condition of their heart, that actually they had a limitation. He couldn't heal on the Sabbath. He couldn't break their rules. Stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees, from that point, the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. And that's the danger. It was amazing that little Ali, of all people, comes with this word. Man, I see Jesus as this rope and you're on a swing. And there's a clinging to him. And if you lose that trust in him, if you lose the rope, there's danger on that side. And I want to say the condition of our hearts. We have to be so careful in the attitudes of our hearts. That's the one area when the kingdom is always spoken about as a seed. The heart is always spoken about as the soil, and it's the one area where we are always entrusted to steward. The seed, the kingdom, is always left up to him. It says the seed is planted in the ground, and whether you sleep or whether you awake, it takes roots and it grows. The mustard seed is so small, but it's planted in the soil, and it grows up, and it displaces all the other plants, and it becomes the biggest in the garden. But the soil, it says you can have hardened hearts where the seed falls on the soil, and birds can snatch it. Weeds can grow up with it. And so the heart is the area that we're told to steward in our walk with the Lord. From when we meet him for the first time up until maybe you've been walking with him for decades, how are you stewarding your heart in your walk with the Lord? How are you posturing your heart? And tonight he's saying, man, I love you so much that even when you miss things, I see your heart and I want to reach out to you. I want to change your heart. I want to soften your heart. So what happens is, and we're not going to read through all the stories, we're going to follow it. You can read it for yourself. It's Mark 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And you can follow for yourself the story of how the disciples progressively get harder and harder in their heart. And I want to jump to the end of the story, and then we're going to look at the middle. And the next part is that in Mark 8, verse 14 to 21, this is what happens now after the process. So Jesus has warned them. We've already seen how he felt about the hardened heart. And then in Mark 8, I want you to see how Jesus speaks to his disciples. And I want you to know this. Jesus is a good, loving shepherd. He's the perfect shepherd, the perfect leader. And this is how he speaks to his disciples. The tone is quite hard. He says this. And the disciples had forgotten to bring bread. It became about a practical issue. Except for the one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Who were the guys who had the hardened hearts and they looked for a reason to kill Jesus? It was the Pharisees and the Herodians. They're the ones. And so Jesus says, be careful of that yeast. But they think it's about bread. They're completely missing what he's talking about. They think he's talking about the fact that they don't have any bread left with them. Be careful, Jesus warned. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this one another and they said, it's because we don't have bread. Aware of this discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke seven loaves and fed 4,000, how many basketfuls did you pick up? And they answered, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? And this is the point where Jesus addresses the heart. And you know what? It actually takes a lot longer in Mark. And the moment things all shift is when you actually watch the progress in the disciples. Their hearts don't get better and better and better. It actually gets worse and worse and worse, leading up to crucifixion. And then there's this dispersing. And then Jesus brings them back to himself. But in this short process, what we see that is so important to us as we sit here this morning is that even right now, my posture and my heart towards Jesus might be soft. It might be like, Lord, come and have your way. But I want to say that for every single one of us, there's this warning. There's this warning of the yeast of the Pharisees that you might look for a reason to accuse Jesus. Like we said, like Jess said, I think it was so powerful. How often does our view on suffering harden our heart towards the way we see God? I was talking to Rian, who leads the AM congregation. 3 people passing away in a space like this. How easy is that to harden your heart? One of our eldest sisters passed away this morning. Doom. She's been sick for a week. She passed away this morning. How easy is it for suffering to harden our hearts towards the Lord? You go through difficulties. You lose jobs. You lose houses. Maybe you lose comforts. You lose securities. You lose, your world gets infringed on. And how easy is it to start questioning your heart that actually your arguments start become about things like bread, like the disciples? Where Jesus would say, be careful, and he's talking about the heart, and they think he's talking about the bread. You know, if you read the story in Mark 4, where Jesus walks on water, it says, after he breaks the bread and he gives it and he feeds the masses, then he's walking out and it says he withdraws and he watches the disciples go into a storm. And he's in the storm and it says, and he sees them straining. So Jesus walks out to meet them. And when he gets on board, and we know the story, but when he gets on board and it says, they saw Jesus and they were astonished. And it says this, but they didn't understand the loaves because their hearts were hardened. And so when Jesus sat down, masses of people, and he met needs of everybody's needs around them, he reached out to them, he even did miracles. Sometimes we can get together and God can meet with this person and we hear these incredible testimonies. And God can be moving and working around you, and the condition of your heart is that you don't even actually understand why this is so significant. Because my heart towards him has started to become hard. After that, Jesus actually does this incredible teaching, and I want us to, why is a hard heart such a big deal? Why is it? Because surely if he has my heart, that's all he should worry about. And Jesus actually teaches this to them in Mark. I'm skipping around in notes, that's what I'm saying. In Mark 7, verse 17, he explains when he speaks to them about what defiles a person is not what they put in, but it's about what comes out. And so Mark 7, verse 17, he says this. After he had left the crowd, and remember he's dealing with the hard heart with the disciples. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull? He asked. I want you to know that is the NIV's version of a cuss word. Are you so dull is not like what's going on. He's calling them stupid, saying, how can you not see what is so obvious in front of you? Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? The disciples are getting concerned about what they're eating, and are they washing? And this is what happens. The Pharisees come and say, oh, but you didn't wash your hands. You're eating without doing all the right things and jumping through the right hoops. And then they say to Jesus, well, we don't know what you're on about when you say what's inside is more important. And these are the things that starts to happen in your walk with the Lord when the condition of your heart changes. The duties and the responsibilities, they become the things that get all the effort and the attention. And says to them, are you so dull? Do you not see? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside, for it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. What comes out of the heart is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside, and they defile a person. And that's why we say, yo, Jesus, it's pretty harsh that you sit there and you get angry at the condition of people's hearts. And he gets angry because what comes out of the heart is what defiles a person. You see, your relationship with Jesus is not determined by how many miracles you see, by how impactful your ministry is, by all the good things that you're accomplishing and doing. The significance of your walk with Jesus is your relationship with Jesus. The external stuff, it's great. The important stuff is the one-to-one relationship. This morning I preached in Brackenfell and I preached about the fact that one of the reasons I believe we don't understand eternity very well is because we're obsessed with doing. I want to know what am I going to do in heaven. People can tell me everything else, never answers my question. Do you know what else never answers my question about what are we going to do? The Bible. The Bible tells us who will be there. Who will we be close to? And what it won't be like. Said it won't be pain, there won't be tears, there won't be... The different occasions talk about people singing and worshiping. Different occasions talk about he'll lead us down to the rivers. But the important thing is, and Jesus says in John 14, eternal life is this, that you may know God. The condition of the heart is such a concern for Jesus because it's not about the external things. It's about the heart that's the most important. To Jesus, it was neither here nor there whether he healed on the Sabbath or not. But they were looking for a reason to accuse him. Last week, I was blown away. I left this meeting at Edgemead PM challenged to my core because you're very wild. I like that. Really. People getting healed in worship, people praying for people to get healed in worship. Like, really, a move of the Lord. And I realized for myself, do you know what? When it's not happening through me, I wish I could do that. I wish I could lay hands on you and you fly across the room. Or, like, I'd do anything for a superpower. I feel like Iron Man. Like, I don't have any superpowers. No, really. Like, I would do anything to see the power of God move through me like it. And do you know what happens inside of me then? When it happens all around me, but not through me, actually, sometimes the condition of my heart starts to get checked. Like the disciples and Jesus walking on water. Yeah, they were astonished, but they didn't understand it. Because their heart was hardened. That's what happens when Christianity and the gifts becomes a spectator sport. Hearts start to get hardened. Because he doesn't use me. It's about the words of knowledge that came about the conference. I fully agree with this. I think there was some of us that were lit on fire for Jesus. And I think there was some of us that felt like he didn't make it enough about my exact thing. Maybe I didn't get what everybody else was getting. Maybe I had a bad seat and I couldn't hear properly. Or maybe something inside of it disappointed me. I have to start to watch the condition of my heart because then when somebody gets up, like Jess, what Jess shared, honestly, I want to say that those are the miracles that change the way she'll live forever. If he heals your leg, and I love healing. I think it's incredible. I want to see God heal more. If he heals your leg, newsflash, you still die. If he completely takes away your sickness, you still die in the end. But when he changes your heart, your destiny can shift. From eternity without him to eternity with him. And so what's the greater miracle? It's the miracle that happens in the heart. And that's why he would look over us as a people and as a church, as Josh Jen, as 412, as a movement of churches who the Lord is going to accomplish much through us. But do you know what? As much as many God will use powerfully, there'll be some that he doesn't use powerfully. What about the condition of your heart when he doesn't use you? But he does it through others and he does it around you. So strange. In this process, you know, Jesus, he teaches about the defiled heart. And then the very next part in Matthew 7, we're not going to read it. He speaks about the woman and her persistent faith. And this is the way Mark writes it in. And it talks about how this woman was persistent in faith. And you know, I want to just give us three quick symptoms to what could be an indicator that maybe in my walk with the Lord, I've started to harden my heart. And the first one is this. Maybe in my walk with Jesus, I've started to lack in persistence. I'm so easily discouraged. It's like I can put grit to it, and as soon as I strive to do it, if I don't, as soon as there's an obstacle, I don't have persistence. I'm out. I'm done. I go to Com Group this week, and that's the week I go to Com Group that my kids are a nightmare, and they throw things around, and they break stuff in the host house, and I'm just like, I'm done. I can't do this. I'm not going to go next week. Or I drag myself to church and then something happens and I lose that persistency. I lack, one of the symptoms of a hard heart is we lack a persistent faith. It's always down, up and down, and up and down. Second one was Jesus heals a deaf man in Mark 7. So this is between all of this. He heals a deaf man. And I realized that one of the symptoms of a hard heart is exactly what happened with his disciples. You stop hearing what the Lord says. You stop hearing him. You see him, what everyone else is doing. But for yourself, you stop hearing him in your life. You stop hearing the leading of the Spirit. The third one, and we wanted to, I wanted to keep this short because we really wanted to spend time ministering into all of these areas tonight. And this third one that I felt is this is, you know, the first time Jesus feeds the 5,000, do you know who he puts the responsibility of feeding the people to? The disciples. They come to him and they say to him, Jesus, this is the problem. And he looks at them and he says, so what are you going to do about it? And they're like, what do you mean? We can't do anything about this. And the Bible doesn't point to this, but I think this is when maybe the hardness of their heart started. He says to them, you feed them. Me? What must I do? Must I go and sell everything? It'll be a year's wages just to feed them and to do this and to do that. And da-da-da-da-da. And do you know what happens the next time that Jesus has to feed the people? It says that the disciples had no compassion on them. They want to carry on going. And Jesus says, whoa, we need to stop. And it says, Jesus looked at them with compassion. And he said to them, we need to feed them. Because if we send them away to eat, they might even pass out on the way there. One of the symptoms of the condition of our heart is that we lose compassion towards people. We stop caring for one another. We stop caring how it affects others, how I'm affecting others. We lose that. When you see a brother in need, it's like, I see your need, but I have needs too, Jesus. We haven't sorted out the bread issue yet. And I felt like these were three areas, and I think there's a few more from some of the prophetic words that we want to look at. But tonight I want to say that the condition of your heart matters a lot to the Lord. And it's not just because, oh, Jesus, I gave you my heart when I surrendered my life to you. It doesn't end there. It's, are you consistently keeping your heart soft towards him and what he says and what he does? Otherwise, when he does move and he starts to use others and he starts to do things that you don't understand, your heart only gets harder and harder and harder. And then this is when Jesus, and I wanted to end with this piece that we started with. And Jesus asked them, why are you still talking about having no bread? And I felt like a lot of us come to the Lord, and maybe this is just me, but when I come to a church meeting or I come to worship, so often my list of needs is my biggest obstacle that I have to overcome. It's like I come to worship and I know that next week is going to be a hectic week and I've got this to do and I've got that to do and it's month end and there's not enough money and you have to pay all these oaks and you've got this salary to worry about and these people. And you come to the Lord and it's like your list is just... And that's what caused niggling and bickering. And you and your wife, you come to church and you've just had an argument before because of X, Y, Z. And it's like we come to Jesus with this condition of our heart. And we walk in and Jesus wants to stop everything this morning. He's saying, why are we arguing about bread? Just whoa. It's your heart. It's the condition of your heart that I'm looking at tonight. You might have been so busy that you don't even realize it. You don't even realize that you've stopped hearing him. If you prayer journal, I don't prayer journal. Because I could do it on a very small book then. Really, I wouldn't be able to write that much. I'm just like prayer journaling, what did you say to me? It's like we stop hearing the Lord and we just carry on like it didn't stop. And this morning he wants to stop everything and say, whoa, 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 whoa. When I was here last week, I want to be honest with HMUPM. Greenpoint, no, this is me. I felt in my heart there was two ways this can go with what God is doing in this congregation. The first was that you can so embrace what God is doing and he's doing in your meetings and he's doing when you get together that you will, through this, you'll bring others and you'll see people get saved and added to the kingdom. Or secondly, you could just become a group of radical people about what God is doing with us. And it's our thing. And it becomes inward focused. And it loses its external focus. And it becomes about God healing us. And I want the Lord to heal. I do. But the promise that Jesus had is, my kingdom will come by power. When you preach the gospel to people who don't know him, who don't believe in him, you will see the power of God at work. You will. He does want to heal us. He does want to move in us. He does want to move in our meetings. But he also wants us to be a people that are always looking out, always looking to bring others in. That's why I loved last week. We're seeing four people getting saved out of that stuff. That was incredible. But I want to say, are we watching this? Because if it becomes a spectator sport, so quickly the condition of your heart can slip. And you can come on a Sunday and leave it to Tracy to be a little bit wild over here, and Brett to be a little bit wild over here, and Jazz to pray for healing over here, and we just sit back and watch. And tonight Jesus is stopping us. He's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. It's your hearts that I'm after. Linz, can you? Are you cool with this? Are you cool? So can we stand, and then we're going to, we also want to use some of the words that came in a response.